Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them you are the amazing, exquisite expression of God. You are the amazing, exquisite expression of God. Yeah. You are the amazing, exquisite expression of God. Thank you. I am. I am that. Yeah. I am that I am. I am the amazing, exquisite expression of God. Yes. Do you believe that?
Yes,
yes, yes. And you can see it, you know, when, see, from here, I look out and I see that. I say, oh, God, this is amazing. This is your divine expression and manifestation coming through the essence and the faces of all these beautiful souls. It's wonderful. And so sometimes we need to see it and we need to name it and claim it and express it. So I see that you all are the amazing, exquisite expression of God. Yes. Well, folks, this is it. Welcome to the first Sunday of the new year. This is the first Sunday of the new year. And you know, I love this time of the year. I love, of course, the holiday seasons and Christmas, but I love after everything has happened. We had Christmas and, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then we have the New Year's Eve service. But I love this particular time of the year because we are always filled with such hope and promise for a brighter year and a new start. Everybody's saying, "Woo! This is going to be the year," right? We're always excited about the beginning of a new year. Now, it's been said that how you begin your new year is how you will end it. And I say, not necessarily so. Unless you make a conscious and concerted effort to move consistently in the direction of your dreams and your desires and your hopes and your wishes and your goals all year long, not just at the beginning of the first week or maybe the first month. Some of us last a month. Those of us who, I mean, really, to last a month is really good. But the key words with the, you know, that can happen. You can end your year the way you begin it, but the key words are consciously, concerted, and consistently. You've got to make a conscious effort. You've got to bring your full awareness, your consciousness into whatever it is that you're doing, not just today, but every day. You have to make that concerted effort. You have to be consistent in it. Because sometimes it's not just the consciousness and the concerted, but it's the consistency. It's doing it every day. It's like we go to the gym, right? But if you, and it doesn't matter if you can only lift 5 pounds, but if you are consistent, that 5 pounds will automatically increase to 10, 15, 20, 25. It's the consistency that builds muscle. It's the consistency that builds strength. It's the consistency that builds your character and enables you to achieve what you want to achieve. Not just the desire, because I have lots of desires. I got lots of dreams and hopes. But that doesn't matter if I'm not consistently moving toward them. Doing something every day. So you have to treat each day or every day as if it were the first day, right? Every day as if it were the first day. Or you know the cliche, to make every day, this is the first day of what? Of the rest of your life. It's a cliche. We all say it, but I tell you what, if you were to actually approach your life like that with the belief that this is the first day of the rest of my life, it would be so powerful and so effective. So I want to get into some firsts today. Since this is the first Sunday of the new year, I thought we would concentrate on some firsts that I believe that if we could, you know, remember them or if we could practice them throughout the year, that they would serve us well so that we might even end up with just as much excitement and, you know, being thrilled as we are at the beginning of this new year, that we might actually be fulfilled, that those dreams, those desires, those wishes and hopes would be a fulfillment at the end of the year, and we'd still be in a state of celebration and excitement because we would have accomplished that. So I want to look at some firsts. Now, since this is the first time we will be covering the Bible in a year during our Wednesday night classes, we're going to have, throughout the Bible, we're going to go from Genesis to, well, we're not going to get to, we're going to leave Revelations, but we're going to get to Genesis and the beginning of Revelations this year. With a metaphysical, we're going to do good old-fashioned metaphysical Bible study. I don't know if there is an old-fashioned metaphysical Bible study, but that's okay. It's who we are. It's how we do it, right? But this will be the first time that we're going to try to cover the Bible in a year. So I thought that I would begin with today's lessons, with the very first sentence in the first book of the Bible, in the first chapter of the first book, right? Which, of course, is what? Right. So the book, well, I was asking what the book was. Okay, but y'all got it. Uh-huh. The first book is what? Genesis. And Genesis, of course, as we know, means the origin or how something comes into being. It's the beginning, right? So, which is an aptly named for the book of Genesis. But the first sentence does indeed say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want you to take note that it says, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens, not heaven, the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm not going to go into what that means today. You'll have to come to the class to kind of get into the metaphysics of that. But I am going to work with this idea. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that gives us a clue as to how we are going to work with or should or desire to work with our life. In the beginning, God. And we know God created the heavens and earth. So that tells us that why not, if you want to really have a fabulous ending, you've got to have a strong beginning. So why not make a commitment to put God first in all that you do? That's going to be one of your first commitments. We're not making resolutions. We're making commitments and declarations, right? So why not make that commitment to put God first? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in the beginning, God, in all that you do, all that you think, all that you say. So let's make it a practice. This is going to be some practical tips I'm giving you today. So as a practice, I want you to start putting God in the beginning, at the very moment, the first moment you open your eyes, right? When you open your eyes in the morning, before you even sit up, before you get up, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. Now, Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I love that. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now notice it says, acknowledge him. It doesn't say to give God a quick wink and a nod. You know, because sometimes, right, we just like, we get a little lazy. We say, hey. I got you. And if we're really cute, we may go, I got you. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't even take time to say hello, how are you, be, hey. So we're not talking about giving a God a hey, how you doing. We're not talking about that. We're actually talking about acknowledging God. Now, listen to what acknowledge is according to the first great metaphysician, Daniel Webster. And we laugh, but Daniel Webster was a metaphysician. He understood the deeper meanings of a word, right? And so this is what he says about acknowledge. First, one, that acknowledge means to recognize the rights, authority, or status of something. Two, it is to acknowledge is to own or admit knowledge of or agreement with something. So to acknowledge is to own or to admit knowledge of or agreement with. Third definition is for acknowledge is to express gratitude or obligation for. Fourth, it is to take notice of and to make known the receipt of. And I love that because I said, wow, in all thy ways acknowledge him means that you must first begin by giving God his propers. You know how the young folks say, you better recognize, right? So it says to acknowledge is to recognize the rights, authorities, and status of something. So we begin by acknowledging the authority and the status of God, of the sovereignty of God, of the almighty, everywhere present, everlasting, absolute good God, right? I love that this, yeah, it's the almighty, everywhere present, everlasting, absolute good God. To be able to say that, not just, hey, how you doing, God? You ought to get up and you say, woo, you know what? I'm acknowledging the almighty, everlasting, everywhere present, everlasting, absolute good God. Even as you begin your prayers, could you imagine if you began your prayers by saying, almighty, everywhere present, everlasting, absolute good God, and then whatever it is you're going to pray. Give God God's propers. Acknowledge the authority and the sovereignty and the inexhaustible, infinite presence and power of God. You start there, right? And then the second definition says of to acknowledge is to own or to admit knowledge of or agree with. So then after you get that acknowledgement, you then agree with. You can admit knowledge of. To knowledge is not to know of or know about, but to really know. To know God or to be in agreement with God. So the question might be is what are you in agreement with God? See, what are you in alignment with? What with God? What truth do you know of and with about God? What are you in agreement with? Agree with God for the empowerment and the blessing of your life. Agree with God for his divine and infinite nature and your nature as being one with God. Can you find some things so when you get up in the morning after you have said you know, almighty, everywhere present, everlasting, absolute good God, then you can say, you know what? This is what I know. I'm going to begin to acknowledge, I'm coming into agreement that you are the power in my life today, or you are the strength, or you are my healing, or you are my blessings, or you are my wisdom, or my peace, or whatever it is that you're desiring. Come into agreement and into alignment with that which you know about God. This I know. I don't know anything else, but this I know. And you affirm that. See, what truth do you own? Because it says that you got to own it. To acknowledge is to own the knowledge of. So what truth do you own? Can you, and whatever it is, you need to acknowledge it, to confess it, to claim it, to declare it, to affirm it, to speak it. And it doesn't have to be all the spiritual principles. You don't have, even if you only know one, I don't care, then acknowledge it, affirm it, claim it, declare it. What do you own? Which means not what you'd like to own, not what you say when I say, how you doing? Oh, I'm divinely blessed and inspired. Which is fine, but you better own that. So acknowledge whatever it is that you own. And you're doing all of this, yes, early in the morning, before you even sit up and get out of bed. You are doing this. And then it says to acknowledge, the third definition is to express gratitude or obligation of and for. So then begin to express your gratitude. To acknowledge is to express the gratitude. To allow yourself to feel grateful, to feel grateful, full of greatness, full of Godness. When you get up in the morning, wow. I'm so grateful. I'm so full of the absolute greatness of God. I'm full of Godness. Oh, thank you, God. Feel that energy all before you step out of bed. See, all too often, friends, you know, we jump up and we jump right into our day. Right into our day, and usually with a laundry list of things that we have to do, right? I mean, sometimes it happens to me. I open up my eyes and all of a sudden, I gotta go call this one, I gotta do this. And I start making a laundry list of all the stuff that I have to do. So I'm so tired before I even get out of the bed. I'm overwhelmed before I even start my day. Why not allow God to order your day? Why not allow God to order your steps and to lead you in the path or the way that you should go? And that can happen and will happen when you practice acknowledging God. Not just a quick wink and a nod, but to acknowledge Him. That could also be as simple as taking time to fill yourself with the presence. Just fill yourself consciously with the presence. To feel that state of oneness, to feel a state of wholeness, to feel peace within you. You know, it might be making that conscious contact, that conscious connection, laying there and make a conscious connection and feel that conscious oneness that happens, or feel that consistent connection just through your breathing and your being and being aware of and honoring it and filling yourself with the Spirit and resting in that. See, what is important here, friends, is that you develop the habit of putting God first in your mind and in your heart, each day, every day. In all of thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now, as you begin to allow God to direct your path, because we have to allow, because sometimes we get up and we're so bent on going this way, because these are the things that are on my list, and God is saying, yeah, but today I have something over here for you. And we can't allow. So we have to begin to allow God. Now, as you begin this process of really allowing God to direct your path, you have to begin to trust that not only are your steps ordered and being ordered, but that there is an order, a divine order to all of your activities and all of your affairs, the affairs of your life. That there's an order to what is taking place in your life and in the direction of your life. You've got to begin to trust that things are in divine order. Charles Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, said this. He said that order is the first law of the universe. He says there could be no universe unless its various parts were kept in perfect order. Right? Think about it. Order is the first law of the universe because everything is kept in its proper place by divine order. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that means that everything was put in place first. The sun, the moon, the stars, the firmaments, the oceans, the creepy crawly things, the plants, the trees, everything was put in order first and created first. And then humankind was created. And then mankind was created. And think about it, you know, because sometimes, you know, in our egotistical ways, we just like to think that we're the biggest, baddest thing, you know, that we're always first. Well, the creepy crawly things came before you did. Plants and the trees and the sun and the moon came before you did. Doesn't mean that we're not important, because we are in the overall scheme of things. We're created just a little bit lower than the angels. But we have to understand that there's an order to life and that things were put into place so that life could unfold, so that our lives could unfold and that we could be sustained in life. We needed to have the rivers and the oceans. We needed to have the trees and the plants for food. All that was put into place so that our lives could be sustained. There's an order to life. So why not, as a first activity, why not, we may want to look at our lives and see if you can glean what things need to be put in order. What needs to be ordered in your life? All right? So sometimes, you know, you begin with the end. If you were to leave here, is everything in order? When you leave your house in the morning, you know, sometimes I say, Lord, if anybody came up in my bedroom, they'd be saying, woo! That's why I tell my friends, don't let nobody come upstairs. Just let the coroner come and get my body if I'm up there. But don't let anybody else come up there and see my bedroom. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So sometimes it's like, well, at least let me wash the dishes downstairs. I make sure that everything downstairs look good. Looks good. But we have to examine, so what things need to be in order? Every year, at the beginning of a new year, I try to order my desk. I want to put everything in its place. But the challenge is that it only lasts for a few weeks, and then I'm overtaken once again by paper and projects. You know, paper and projects, until at such time, maybe mid-year, I can't stand it anymore, and then I have to bring order to my desk again. Order is the first law of the universe. So you need to look at your lives and see where you want to put some things in order. Because if I'm going to ask God, I'm going to ask God to order my steps and to direct my path and to direct my work and my actions and my decisions and my activities. I want God to do the direction. Then I have to be willing to bring order to my life, right? So what do you need to release? What do you need to put in place in your house or on your desk or in your life, in your affairs, in your priorities, in your values? So often we say, well, I really value this. This is so important to me. And yet it's the last thing you do. But I value it. I value my children. My children are my priority. Yet you can hardly make time to listen to their little stories or whatever it is when they come home. Oh, I value my spiritual life, but yet it's not a priority. It's the last thing you do. Prayer and meditation is the last resort. You've got to look at how we are prioritizing things. So this year, make a commitment to practicing the first law of the universe, which is divine order, and then knowing that everything is truly in divine order, and then trusting the process. If you're going to ask God, you know, to order your steps and to do that, then you've got to trust the process. You have to trust the guidance that comes your way. You have to trust that what the direction that you're given is for you. It is yours. So many times, you know, we will ask that, how can I trust the process? Well, you'll have to engage in what we call another first. You'll have to begin to trust the process by engaging and trusting your first mind. You know your first mind? Your first mind is a colloquial state. It's just a statement for meaning your intuition. Your first mind is that first thought that comes into your mind whenever you're seeking or asking for an answer or you're seeking some kind of guidance. It comes. But as we know, we often ask for direction or guidance from God, and then we don't listen. And then we don't want to hear it. Or if we hear it, we don't want to follow it. We ask, and then we don't do. So why not begin the practice also this year of listening to your first mind? Listen to your first mind, your intuition. Now, the key in listening to your first mind so that you feel comfortable enough to act upon it will be to remember to keep God first and uppermost in your mind. Because when you do that, then you'll be able to trust whatever enters in your mind. Because as we know, there's a whole lot of stuff that comes in. And that's what we get confused. Well, I don't know if this is God or who is this or whatever. So we then begin to question and to doubt and whatever. But if you have developed the practice of filling your mind with God mind, God thoughts, you'll then begin to trust in that first mind, in that first thought. But if on the other hand, you are still edging God out, which is using your what? Ego mind, right? E-G-O, edging God. And if you're constantly edging God out, then the chances are what you get that enters in might be questionable because you have edged God out. But if you keep your mind stayed on God, the more you can keep your consciousness, your awareness, your thoughts on God, on the truth, on that which is positive, on that which you know to be right, then the more you'll be able to trust your first mind. Because it will have its foundation in first cause. I want you to follow me now. You can trust your first mind because when you keep it stayed on God, you begin to build the mind then has its foundation on and in first cause, which of course is what? God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So everything in creation has its origin in the essence of God. And everything that is formed came into being from a thought, from an idea in God's mind. Because it says everything, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then it says the earth was void, blah, 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 and then it says, and God said, and there was. Everything that comes into form comes first from an idea, a thought. There's nothing that didn't come as an idea. Even you. You are a divine idea held in the mind of God. The Christ of you. That's what it is. And so when we understand this process that everything formed comes into being in God's mind, that then God as first cause is synonymous with God as divine mind. Mind that created the heavens and the earth. Mind that created the higher consciousness and the formed and manifest realm. You all with me? Yes. So the first mind that you want to hook to is God mind, first cause, divine mind. That's the creator, and God, that out of that mind created what? The heavens and the earth. We'll talk a little, the heavens is higher consciousness, and the earth is the manifest realm. And you notice what comes first? That's right, the levels of consciousness, okay? Not just this place up in the sky, but the higher levels, the heavens of earth. So as we begin this new year, then we've got to remind ourselves that as we do so, let us remember that through the law of mind and action, which is thoughts held in mind, produce end of the kind, or through this creative process of holding a thought, of speaking a word, all of this is the creative process, or a first cause, the first cause is a divine thought, that through these things, law of mind, action, creative process, first cause, or whatever, we then bring forth things into our world from the thoughts that we hold in consciousness. It's a simple, basic law that we all know. The plain and simple truth is that be mindful of what you are holding in consciousness because it will grow into your life. It will manifest. It will show up. So all in all, you want to practice all the firsts, even the first fruit. Even the first rites, which is recorded in the Bible as offering a tenth of all your first fruit, or a tenth of all your crops to the temple or to God. In other words, tithing. Because tithing is the first law of prosperity and increase. We might not like it, we might not want to hear it, but that's, and everything that comes under law manifests. When you work it, it works. So even practicing all these different firsts, divine order, God mind, first mind, all these things, you also ought to practice first fruits, first rites, tithing, the first law of prosperity and your increase. So not only does tithing then bless you abundantly as you begin to practice it, but it actually helps you to keep God first, to put God first and to keep God first. Because, you know, the one thing we are attached to and love, honey, is our money. We're going to guard that. It's precious. But if you recognize the first cause, the source of your precious money is God, and you acknowledge that that is God, then you put that first, you put that energy, that essence first, you give out of that abundance, that thought, that consciousness of the fulfillment and the expanse and of God and the infinite expression of God, then out of that you build your increase in your life. You give. Give and it will be given unto you. That's just the law of increase. So even with all the firsts, you got to practice The first law of giving and receiving, which is to tithe. So you have enough first. There are many more, but you have enough first right now, friends, that if you were to remember them throughout the year, this year, you will definitely end up, or you'll end the year as you began it. You'll end the year with the manifestation of a year filled with blessings and the infinite presence and goodness of God. But it's up to you. So I say, let every day be a first. Blessings. Blessings. Namaste.